You know, as a guy who took Spanish for 3 years, I didn't retain much of any of it. I have to, and 3 years is a long time, especially when you're a child, and that's when you learn the most things really well, but I didn't retain a lot. It's hard just learning it in school or through textbooks. Well, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop, or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. They are a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with its intuitive process. You can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. I started Rosetta Stone and my Spanish skills have definitely improved. I can now say muchas gracias. It's really a better way of learning a language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Comedy Bang Bang listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/comedy. That's rosettastone.com/comedy. This episode of Comedy Bang Bang is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates national average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. I will show you fear in a handful of dust. Now show me that rockin' bust. Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang. Thank you to Tough Shit Elliot. Tough Shit Elliot for that wonderful catchphrase submission. And welcome to Comedy Bang Bang for another edition. My name is Scott Aukerman, and man, we have a banger of a show. Do people still say banger? I don't know. I do, certainly, because when it happens, you have to call it out. We have a firefighter coming up a little later. We have a manicurist, and we have a hostage negotiator. And we also have a Hollywood celebrity that we'll be talking to in a second. What an incredible show we have for you today. And speaking of Hollywood celebrities, let's talk to the one that I mentioned not moments ago. He used to live in Hollywood. He was a celebrity. He is still a celebrity. He does not live in Hollywood anymore, but we still consider him one of our great Hollywood celebrities. Stars are back here on Comedy Bang Bang, and there is none greater. You know him from such television shows as Mr. Show with Bob and David, Arrested Development. You know him from the movies, such as Scary Movie 2. You know him from the Squeakquels. You know him from so many things. You love him. You see his face and you say, oh, I love him. I love everything about him. He also is one of the greatest stand-up comics to ever exist. He has a new tour called Worst Daddy in the World, and it's starting this week. Please welcome him back to the show. David Cross is here.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for having me back in Hollywood, and thanks for arranging it and doing all the paperwork.
Of course. Did they pick you up at the airport? Everything was good?
Yeah. I don't know who the they is that you are referencing, but a gentleman.
I sent 200 people. Did 200 show up, or?
Well, there were definitely 200 people there. I got the sense that they were just sort of not given real instructions. And
I sent one to actually drive you, and then 199 to be extras in the background.
Oh, then that definitely happened.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Although it was a share ride, so I guess we're 197 in the background, and then three of them.
Oh, I didn't hire those other people for the share ride.
Huh?
those weren't mine. No, sorry. I don't know who those.
So I was supposed to pay them?
Yeah, you were supposed to pay the people for the share.
I didn't even. Okay, this wasn't something that I.
Did you get their W-2s?
I did. I did, but I didn't know. I didn't know I was supposed to pay. This is coming out of my pocket.
This is coming out of your pocket, but I reimburse.
Oh, I see.
And then
see.
You
okay,
reimburse
I understand now.
A second time for me.
Oh, so then it's still.
I don't know. I get confused with the back and forth,
so
but who
math.
Knows what, yeah. what, you know, like no, at the end it, of the day.
But anyway, thank you. The gentleman was Estonian, I believe. And then the other people in the rideshare were seeking asylum. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, they were from Hawaii.
They were. Oh, they were seeking asylum from Hawaii.
Yeah. To Hollywood.
To
they
Hollywood.
Just, they
oh,
were just
okay.
Interested
yeah.
in Hollywood.
Were they interested in being celebrities or they just wanted to get the.
I think two of them wanted to be celebrity adjacent. Mm. So.
Well, that car ride must have been thrilling for them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't think they knew who I was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what's showing on the plane, really.
Oh,
if,
okay.
If you don't have access to. And I don't think any of my stuff was on there. And then one of the guy googled me, and then I just heard C-list.
Really?
Overnight.
Are you sure it wasn't like an Estonian word like Celeste or
well, that
something
was a driver.
Like,
this is the
oh
other,
these were
are the,
oh they were from Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what they speak in Hawaii. Hawaiian, I guess.
Still, C-list, pretty good. You know, when you think about like what's going on with you.
Yeah. I mean, it could be worse. It was worse.
Yeah.
It was way worse.
Oh, my God. I mean, you've gone from just total nobody.
Mm-hmm.
The shit on the bottom of shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally. I mean, that was part of that's how I made money.
Yeah, exactly. You know? You would shit on the bottom of people's shoes. Is that at the airport?
I would
Is
let
that...
them shit on the bottom of my shoe.
Oh, right. That's what
yeah.
it was. Yeah.
And then I would sleep with the shoe and then I
right.
would write down my feelings and reflections and then put it into a poem. I go on to the beach in Venice Beach and I
right.
go, I'll turn your shit on the bottom of the shoe thing into a poem.
Right. Yes.
And then
you would do that for spare change or
Bitcoin, all Bitcoin.
Just all Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. This is
Congrats.
Way before Bitcoin came out. So I didn't, it wasn't the wisest. Thing.
Right.
I just had a notion of what it would be.
It was just the word that, or
it was
an idea.
It was like, I would take, there's an old candy called Bit of Honey, and I would take that and put it into a coin shape.
Mm.
So it was like gelt, like the little Jewish children in my neighborhood who on the Hanukkahs would pass out.
Oh, they would pass out something. Oh, I see.
They'd pass out the coins.
Oh, okay. I mean, that was a weird gelt. Holiday tradition if they just pass out.
Well, that was part of it, too. They were
right.
They were miserable. They were miserable alcoholics. All the Jewish children where I grew up were just, you know, way it was bad. It was
really
bad. Yeah.
It's so crazy that you made it out of there being just a miserable alcoholic adult.
Yeah, well, the thing is I had access to all the they would ask me, they call me Pops, and they would ask
that's
me
so cute.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you older
sure
than
for
them
sure for sugar pops?
Oh, for sugar pops, because yeah. You always ate sugar pops.
Yeah, I'd hand out sugar pops.
Oh, you'd hand out sugar. Yeah. Did you ever eat the sugar pops?
No, don't get high in your own supply. That's
oh, okay,
my
got
number
it.
One
so
rule.
Just handing out sugar pops
yeah,
to
yeah.
all the kids.
Yep.
They called you Pops.
Yep, they called me Pops.
Right.
And then I would, they would ask me to go get the, you know, there was Manischewitz was
the wine that you use in a lot of ceremonies.
Yeah.
Is that right?
What one would use.
Well, yes.
A
not
a Jew one would use in the
right.
ceremonies. Yeah. And so that's what, but I was able to kind of control that. So I would drink a bit more than they did, but they would still get drunk. They were kids.
They were kids. They were getting drunk all the time. You were getting drunk.
Yeah.
And everyone's drunk at the end. And this sounds like a happy ending to me. Everyone's drunk.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're all dead. But,
oh, good.
But that's that is happy. It's because they were just miserable. And I think some of them, I'm a little suspicious about some of their intentions, you know, in America. And, I think I got the sense they were trying to subvert the Constitution.
Oh, which part of the Constitution?
The fifth one.
What?
Yeah.
Article 5?
Article 5.
No.
Fifth page.
My favorite article.
It's top 5, you know?
It's in the top 5, definitely. But now you've gone from that, you've gone to the...
Well, this show.
This show, yeah, definitely. And then a bunch of stuff in between.
Yeah,
we
the
don't
stuff
need to
in
talk
between is
that.
Not important.
Yeah. But this C-list from being on this show, that's pretty good.
I think this has dropped me down to C-list.
Oh,
I think
okay.
I
you were at B-list?
Yeah, because when I got dropped off, Because there's, you know, you can always check in if, I don't know if you have that app.
No. They have, because I know celebritynetworth.com, they have celebrity what list you're on.com.
They have what list or am I currently at this moment in time?
Am I currently at this moment in time.com? Yeah.
And you submit a fingerprint. And
do they do a pinprick for a blood sample?
Yeah, DNA stuff, and RNA.
Mm.
And riboflavin.
Riboflavin. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And what a wonderful world. It's, and word.
And
word.
Yeah.
Is what I meant to say.
It's a fun. But well, it's that's a wonderful what makes world the world fun is that words are fun.
That's probably the number one thing that makes the world great is that words are fun.
Fun words. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with Gallagher, but, you know, he talked about
pretty
that
familiar.
A lot.
He's no longer with us, David. Was that a sad day for comedy?
It was a sad day that comedy didn't stand up and take notice, you know?
Exactly.
I think the only person who was more excited than everybody else was Gallagher 2.
Yeah, because now he gets to be Gallagher 1. He moves up.
Yep, he moves up. And the listing. He's on what rank is my listing celebrity.
At this moment in time.com?
At this moment in time.com, yeah.
Wow, amazing. I realize my phone light has been on this entire interview. Yeah, that ever happened to you?
Scott.
I know, David. David, you and I used to work together back in the 90s. That's not a euphemism. That is actually true. You were my...
What would the euphemism part be?
I don't know. We were jerking each other off. I don't know.
Okay. So the work part would be the euphemism.
Work. Yeah, the work together.
I thought that in the 90s was the...
In the 90s also could be like, you know, like a little up from 69. I don't know. But you were my boss. You issued me a paycheck every week. You were a stern taskmaster, were you?
Yeah,
not?
You guys used to have to come in and you would wait outside and we would have you come in and
it was weird because
tend to the fire.
We would be on the street and you would come by in a pickup truck, you and Bob, and you would go, "Who wants work today?" And we'd go, me. And we would get into the back and it was always the same people because we had jobs, but you made us go through that every day.
I mean, that was fun for us, for Bob and I. And then to get paid, we had the hut built within our office and then you'd have to wait outside, come in, tend to the fire, massage our feet, and then peel some grapes. And then we would dangle the check over your open mouth.
With a fishing line. Yeah, it was so crazy. But we loved it. We were young.
We loved it. And we told you it was a hard lesson to learn, but this is how Hollywood works.
And it's never happened to me again since then. So I've been confused.
Well, there was a law after they found out there was a law.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But you and Bob Odenkirk were, of course, our bosses. And Mr. Show with Bob and David was the show. And so we've known each other a good amount of time.
Long time.
And was that fun being a boss or was that too much stress for you?
I mean, honestly, I liked it, but it didn't come naturally. And I certainly learned on the job. But I tried to be a good boss and, try to treat people the way I would hope to be treated. And
what I thought was fun about the show was you made us come in at 11:30 a.m. and Brian Posehn would be always 45 minutes late.
Yeah, we could have been more.
You could have been more accommodating to people.
It's so true. It's very true. Like, I mean, Bob and I had the theory, like we'd get in before everybody and then we just had the like, you know, you don't want people to come in, you know,
tired. I mean, we're all young pretty much. And we're all like used to a lifestyle where we're out till 2 or 3 in the morning.
Like, so it just made sense. You want to get the best work out of everybody. But Brian would roll in grumpy.
and falling asleep in meetings. It was a great time in both of our lives, certainly mine. And now you're your own boss. You're out there on the road. You're out there and...
The road is a harsh mistress.
That is true.
Yeah.
Boy, it is really hard. But you love it. Is that right? You love the art of stand-up comedy too much to keep yourself from being on the road.
I do. I truly love doing stand-up and I love going out and doing stand-up and bringing me to the people, the
peeps. When you think of a joke... Because now when you're out there doing stand-up all the time, a lot of your ideas when we were working on the sketch show probably went into sketch ideas, right? Like sure, you think yeah. of something and you go, how do I filter that through a sketch?
Mm-hmm, right.
But now you do it through stand-up, right? You're like, mm-hmm. okay, this is an interesting idea. How do I do it through stand-up?
Yes.
When you think of a joke, do you say to yourself, ha, 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 ha?
I'll think it. I won't say it out loud. I'll think it and I'll write it down. I'll jot it down.
Good.
And if I have a phone, I'll get a notes app and I'll type out, oh, ha, 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 and make a little guttural and
good. A little parenthetical that says guttural.
No, I know that.
Oh, that's, you know,
this is a note to myself.
Got it.
And then I, you know, I go, to Gowanus, which is a part of Brooklyn, in the area I live. And then I'll bury the phone. And I'll come back 100 years later.
Really? Yeah. So what's the earliest phone that you've buried? Is it almost due or?
It was a Motorola Razr.
Oh, okay. What year was this?
This was, I don't know, 24 years ago.
24. Oh, so we still have 76 years left.
Yeah, yeah. No, I haven't unearthed them. That would be
cheating.
It'd be just stupid. It's not going to tell me anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Do you hope
they only have a battery life of like 103 years? So.
Oh, okay. So you got to get in there right at 100. Yeah. Do you hope to be alive? Because they say things like the singularity. All of our consciousnesses are going to be transferred to computers and we're going to be able to live forever. Does that sound fun to you?
I just want to outlive my daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel you.
What a weird thing to say. And really mean it.
It's a race and I just want to beat her.
For a sense of pride.
Yeah, just to be like, I did that. The idea of being in a computer and then like, you know, you have a lovely wife, Amber, and her being in a different computer. And then what do? You like, you rub computers, you know?
Well, I think it's a peer-to-peer sharing thing.
Oh, port. Oh, it's oh two P2P. Ports.
Yeah.
Oh, P2P. Two ports.
Two ports, one cup.
Well, David, this is exciting. Where are you going with the tour? You're going all over the place. What I like about your tours is you take it seriously. You go out there, you go to a lot of different places, and you don't leave people laughing. Like, there are no laughs on the table after you leave a city. Like, they're all laughed out, is what I'm trying to say.
A roundabout way of...
But where are you going this time?
I have... The first leg is out. We're about to announce the second leg, probably right
around...
Humans
have two legs, too. So this is...
Some of them. Yeah, some of them aren't so lucky.
That's true.
You know, there are babies born with thalidomide.
That is a good point. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Yeah. If you go on my, hang on, let me get that.
Hang on. Oh, wait a minute. That's the podcast bosses. We're canceled.
Oh dear.
Oh no.
Well, don't answer it then. Okay. If you go on my website, officialdavidcross.com, that'll have all the dates where I'm playing, and there will be an announcement probably as this
is coming out.
Drops.
Really?
Is that
really?
What you say? You still say drops?
I guess so. People say that, and they say banger, I think, still. Mm-hmm. And the announcement is for the second leg.
It'll be the second leg.
Will that be the concluding leg?
I think there might even be a third leg.
A third leg?
Yes, because I'm going to take the summer off. I'm doing it a little, because I got a kid that is in school now. I'm not going out. Normally, I'd go out for like 3-4 months straight. She was, part of the last tour, we put a pack and play into the room on the tour bus, but now I'm just going out for like 4 or 5 dates.
You're doing this while she's in school. Do you try to do the show and get back by the time she gets out of school?
Yes, they're all all the shows are at 11:30 a.m.
Right,
and now I'll go for like 4 or 5 days and come back
for the
on
weekends.
Okay, I go out on the weekends.
Oh, really?
Just for it's.
And you do that because you love them?
Yeah, I love my family. It's a burden.
Boy, man, you are really getting soft in your old age, man. That's so funny. The Worst Daddy in the World Tour, it starts this week, so we're very excited by that. David, you're our guest of honor. Thank you so much for being here. You can stick around, can you not?
Oh,
you thought this was just going to be a 10-minute interview?
I didn't even know. I mean, I'm on the phone right now.
Wait, who have you been talking to? Because this has been lining up with every question that I've asked.
Oh, no, I'm talking to you. This, what you're seeing now in this chair in front of you is Will I Am.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're a hologram right now.
Yeah, I'm a hologrammer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
I'm one of those guys.
Okay, well, stick around if you can as a hologram.
Yeah, I can hologram, right?
Okay, we need to get to our next guest. He's a firefighter. Have you ever met a firefighter before? I see him in calendars. I've never met one.
I just heard about a firefighter, yeah.
Okay, so fire.
I thought it was just a cop in a different outfit who was beating up fire.
Right, that's what I thought too. But I just learned about fire. It's one of the four elements.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Air. You don't have air fighters out there, although you do have like air fighters.
Now, is there more than air? I only knew of air as the only element.
Water.
No, water you drink.
Yeah, well, you can drink air too.
That's how we breathe.
Yeah.
What is that? Some crazy thing you're going to try to sell me and take my money?
Bottles of air that I want to sell you a little later.
Wellness freak.
But he fights fires. Please welcome to the show for the first time, Ryan Hedborg.
How are you, Scott? Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. This is David Cross.
David Cross. Nice to meet you.
Nice to
you ever
meet
see the Arrested Development show? Not the movie. There's a movie, Arrested Development, with Matthew McConaughey. Is that right? Woody Harrelson. Was that it?
I don't know.
EdTV? Is that what I'm thinking of? I don't know.
Failure to Launch?
I'm not thinking of Failure to Launch.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful film.
I know what that
Never
is.
Seen it.
It's wonderful.
I have seen Arrested Development, though. Big fan.
Oh, thank you.
Which season is your favorite?
Only seen three.
You've only seen three seasons?
Season three.
Okay, good.
So it seemed like there were a lot of stuff that I was missing because I hadn't seen the first two.
Sure. Do you have any desire to watch the first
two? They're taking them off Netflix, so you better get to it if you have desire.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. No, you don't have desire?
No, I'm going to get right on that.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, but they were long seasons too. They were like 22 episodes, weren't they? Or 20?
Yeah, well, it was a network. Yeah.
It was a network show.
Yeah, so they don't do that anymore. Really?
I know. They don't, right?
Well, I think Law & Order, SVU, Cincinnati, Crime Scene Unit, Cleaners.
Right.
That one went like a good
22. CCSUC is what they shortened that to.
The shortened version.
CCSUC.
Yeah.
CCSUC. You see.
Yeah. Well, that's,
hey, welcome
that's
to the show.
You swore in Spanish.
That's right. Ryan, it's great to meet you. You're a firefighter.
I am a firefighter. It's a pleasure to be here.
Where are you from? You sound like you have you're dropping the R's off of the end of your words.
Yeah, well, I don't want to say exactly the precise place where I'm from.
I'm not asking for
because I don't want to be doxxed or be subject to, online harassment or anything.
You don't want to be swatted.
No, I don't want to be swatted. That's for sure.
Sure.
I don't want CCSUD to come over to my house.
Right. Yes.
Ooh, Dorchester.
But no. I am from an area in the northeastern United States where we do speak with a non-rhotic accent.
Non-erotic? Is that what you said?
Non-rhotic.
Non-rhotic. What is like non-rhotic?
It's exactly what you said. Where we drop
the
R's at the end unless they precede a vowel.
That's a good rule.
That's
a non-rhotic accent.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for having me and for giving me this platform. I've been going around to various schools, to different assemblies, giving PSAs. And
PSAs, that stands for public service announcement.
Public service announcement. Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me here so that I can spread.
Hey, you know what?
Spread.
We've gotten the thank yous out of the way. We can now just like leap right into what we're here to talk about.
Okay, well, I'm very thankful.
I've been thanked probably 10 times at this point by you, and I would love to just like zip right into what we're here to talk about.
Okay, well, thank you for the opportunity to do so.
All right, number 11.
I appreciate this. I mean, I appreciate you as a host listening to allowing your guests to show some reverence.
Isn't that interesting, though? Like, we're supposed to thank EMTs and firefighters and all that. And it's like, you're rude if you're not like, oh, you're a hero, we love you. And yet here you are thanking me. It just, yeah, it doesn't feel right.
All that stuff kind of makes me uncomfortable.
Does it really?
Every time I save someone, I thank them for the opportunity to do my job. And wow. Then I preempt their thank you to me because I don't like to receive compliments.
Are you bashful that way? Is that what it
I'm
is?
I'm a little bashful. I appreciate you, and I appreciate you, David. Good to be here.
It is
thank
good
you
to
very
be
much.
All right. Wonderful.
So I've been going around doing PSAs, sharing with mostly at elementary schools, sharing with children the information that they need to survive and be safe in this world.
Just in this world, just generally? Well, or is this all fire related?
In the ways pertaining to the areas that I am an expert in.
Right, got it.
Yes.
Which would be fire.
Actually, my PSA is about bullying.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's another group of firefighters who I actually know who they do the fire safety related ones.
Okay.
They don't quite let me join in on that.
Did you originally join with them? And
yeah, or? You know how like sometimes you're with a group of friends and you know, sometimes I don't know, they start teasing you or you know, you just feel like you don't fit them with them so much.
Yeah, I mean, David, did you ever feel like that on the Mr. Show with us? Did you ever feel bullied by all of us?
I mean, separately at night, like in individual ways, when y'all would come over and you know, and when I was sleeping and do that, all that stuff that you did.
We would give you a blanket party sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But one-on-one.
We would do it one-on-one. Made sure just to, you know, because we wanted to keep you, you know, on your toes.
Fresh. Yeah.
Yeah, fresh. Definitely.
Yeah.
Jeez,
yeah.
That's a type of bullying that's quite advanced. I've never heard of something like that.
It was very thoughtful.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you trying to say that these guys in the firehouse?
Yeah.
You don't fit in with them?
No. I'll say it. They bully me a little bit.
They bully you. What do they do?
Sorry, I'm getting a little bit emotional.
It's okay. I could guess what they do. Do they take the big fire hose and they say, "This is my dick," and then they take like a string of spaghetti and say, "This is your dick," stuff like that?
They haven't quite done that, but
I don't want to give many ideas.
Yeah,
it's
something that they would do, but they haven't thought of that one yet.
Oh, okay. Huh. That was the first thing that came to my mind.
I guess it all started because apparently, according to them, I go down the pole weird.
So the pole, for people who have never seen a fire station, they're usually two stories. We don't know why, other than to have this pole, right?
Probably yeah.
It's like it's seems... with the height of the clearing the fire.
Right.
I guess, but
fire trucks are quite big, so the building has to be that tall. Yeah.
Sure. But high ceilings everywhere, we don't need a second story.
Well, because you can get more space if part of that has two levels in it. You can fit more Murphy trundle beds and stuff if you have...
It must be really uncomfortable to be in a Murphy trundle bed every single night. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we do it in shifts, but yeah, it's not the most comfortable. I prefer to be in my bed at home.
So in any case, for people who don't know, suddenly the alarm bells ring in the fire department.
Right, when there's an emergency.
You know there's an emergency, usually fire-related emergency.
Yeah.
You guys like...
Pretty much always, fire-related. I guess it could be like sometimes someone got stuck in their car or something like that. They might call us out for that.
Right. And then you guys are expected to jump out of bed.
Right.
You keep your boots there with your big fire things that you're supposed to you're supposed to time it so you jump out of bed right into your boots.
Right.
And then you pull up your big fire outfit.
That's right.
And then to get down to the truck, you go down this pole, which is in the middle of the fire station.
Right. And there's a hole cut out in the middle of the floor, of the second floor, and you go through that hole.
They cut these out? They don't? The floor doesn't arrive that way? That's like something they cut out? Or
You know, I wonder how they do it. I'm thinking of two possible ways. Either the floor comes in two separate parts that each have a semicircle cut out of them and they put them together. Right. Or they build the whole floor and then bore a hole through it afterwards.
It's a big hole to...
How... So then the floor goes first and then the pole goes... And they... How do they get... Because at an angle, if the pole isn't bendable, you'd have to...
Are these bendable poles? This is a good question.
The poles are not bendable. The poles are metal. I suppose it would be possible to have two pieces of metal that were shorter welded together. But I don't think... I think that the hole... They have to bore the hole first, and then I think the hole is wide enough that they're able to...
To slightly tilt it at an angle.
Yes, yeah. And sort of like...
Because it has to be wide enough for the biggest firefighter to get through. Otherwise, has that ever happened where like a big firefighter like goes, oh my God, we have an emergency, and then goes down the hole and then suddenly just gets stuck?
No, that's never happened.
That's the sound of getting unstuck.
Okay, can we roll that in reverse?
Yeah.
Hey, Engineer Sam, can you just do that in reverse when we do the show? Okay, great.
Thank you, Engineer Sam.
Thank you, Engineer Sam. Appreciate
That's
it.
That's what it would sound like. But I've never seen that happen. The hole is big enough for most people because, you know, the hole doesn't need to be like just big enough. Like it can be kind of big.
It's like 150%. Usually,
yeah. The
radius of it is 150% of the radius of the biggest firefighter. Usually, right. Just to be real comfortable.
Yeah, I've never seen it. It's never been close to being an issue in all the times I've seen it.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right. So now, normally, I've gone down one of these poles myself.
You have.
I have not in a fire station, but in a Batman scenario.
Ah. Batman scenario.
Too strange to talk about.
Like an
really.
Escape room or something?
No. Where I was going, I was in someone's house and there was like a pole behind a clock and I went down to thinking that I would change my clothes and I just came down and my clothes were exactly the same. It's boring.
Ah, I see.
It's boring to talk about. Yeah. But what you do is you like wrap your legs around the pole. Grab onto it with your hands, and then you just like
and then
slide
you slide
right
down.
Down,
and it's faster than you know stairs,
going downstairs,
right?
Is it, or is it just more fun?
Well, it's not fun for me. I'll tell you that much.
Right? What do you do that's so different?
Well, I don't know exactly what it is that I'm doing, but when I see all the other guys. Go down the pole. It's like you describe it. They slide down. They just slide down. Yeah. And sometimes they say, wee, like they're having fun, like you said. When I do it, I don't know what it is, but when it's like I'm like a fly getting caught on like fly paper or something. I just like I jump onto the pole and then I'm like stuck there. And my like skin is like rubbing against the metal and it's making a loud, annoying squeaking sound. And it's like, I don't just slide down.
Is it like stops and starts? And
yeah. Well, because I'm self-conscious up there. So maybe I'm squeezing onto it even tighter. Hmm. And I drop down a little bit. It makes a really loud squeak.
Well, here's the problem with it. Because you don't want to just go like, you know what? I'm going to barely hang on to it. Because then you just like fall right. You know, it's like a two-story fall.
Right. I don't want to do that. And if I break my leg, that's a big problem for the operation. Right. I just haven't gotten down the smoothness of whatever motion it is I'm supposed to do. I just haven't gotten it down. And the other guys think it's weird. It takes me like 1 or 2 minutes to work my way down the pole.
Do they make you go last or are you first sometimes and they're all waiting?
Well, now they make me go last because they realize that, you know, they can't, you know, I'm going to hold everything up. And sometimes I don't even make it onto the truck.
And I'm sorry, why don't you take the stairs?
Why don't I take? Well, yeah. Because it's faster to do the pole.
It doesn't sound faster.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Well, I mean, okay. So what? I'm just going to take the stairs when everyone else is sliding down the pole and then never learn how to do the pole.
You could go down the stairs and you could say, wee, and sort of feel like you're fitting in.
Come on, Scott. When have you ever had fun walking downstairs?
Well, what if you slid down the stairs like on the banister?
And, oh, that's
like,
fun. You
know, like a kid does and go, wee.
So I tried doing that. And I got stuck on the banister.
Oh, no.
And it was more like, I was able to get down, but it was more like a crawl.
You're crawling down.
Sort of crawling like a bug.
Here's a suggestion. Next time there's going to be an emergency, take a bath the night before with a bunch of essential oils and like lavender oil and like baby oil and things of that nature. Mm. Soften up the skin, make it a little more slippery, as it were, and just try it.
Yeah. Are you kind of a sticky, gummy guy usually?
Clammy.
Yeah.
Clammy, yeah. Clammy. I do get nervous. I get sweaty. Sticky, gummy? Well, I guess I do sweat a lot when I sleep. Mm-hmm. Would that maybe... But wouldn't that slick me up a little bit?
You think it sometimes has the opposite effect.
Yeah, sweat usually makes you stick to things. Yeah. Can I? Do you mind if
when it dries? Yeah, maybe.
Do you mind if I touch you?
Sure.
I ask all my guests that usually. Yeah. So
you're not gonna like, depending on what you feel or touch, like make fun of me or anything like that.
I doubt it.
Okay. Just because
would me just telling you what it felt like, would that be making fun of you or?
If it's accurate, I can live with that.
Okay.
But we'll see how I feel.
Okay. Here we go. Okay, I'm touching your hand. Oh. I mean, let me try to get. Okay, great.
That's okay, the appropriate use.
I was stuck. I was stuck to you. That's pretty.
Jesus.
That's pretty sticky.
Oh,
it's like your if super glue was a person.
This is the type of stuff that the guys were saying. You're like, if super glue was a person.
I know it's formatted like a slam, but I didn't mean it that way.
You're just trying to describe what it's like.
Exactly.
Jesus. Yeah.
What is it about you that was a strange sensation? And I say strange meaning odd. I don't mean it like you're a weirdo, you're lesser than or anything like that. I just thought it was unique. How does unique sound? That's not making fun of you.
Okay, that's good. That's actually a technique that I teach when you're being bullied, is to realize that maybe what makes you different is also what makes you unique.
Mm.
Oh,
and
okay.
So, yeah, maybe I'm just a really sticky guy.
Yeah, I wonder what's made you so sticky. It's interesting. Hey, you know what? I have an idea. What if we like, you must do this in your PSAs. You must do a little role playing, right?
Oh, yeah.
What if David and I were to bully you? And you could and you could teach us, like, you know, your techniques for how to shut us down or anything like that.
Okay, yeah.
You want to do that, David? What
sure,
do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, you fat fuck.
Whoa.
Get the fuck out of there, you fat fuck.
Look at how fat you are.
Okay. Kids. I assume there's children listening to this podcast. I'm usually doing it at elementary school, so I'm going to say kids. But
I get it. Yeah,
really,
we don't want to take you out of your wheelhouse.
That applies to everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, when something like, when people are saying something like this to you, stop, drop, and roll away.
Roll away? I don't know.
Hey, if any kids are listening to this, don't listen to this fucking douche. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Hold on, are you doing that as a role play or as...
Yeah, this is a...
This is part of the role play.
The bully,
yeah,
the bully thing, the bully has followed you to the classroom.
Okay, the bullies followed me to the classroom. Yeah.
Look at this. Look at this loser.
Look at this idiot.
Sweaty, nervous loser.
You don't want to listen to this.
Okay. Yeah. Why are you listening to him?
Listen to us.
Yeah, listen to us. Hey, we're cool.
We're cool guys.
Hey, you want a cigarette?
Yeah, I totally want a cigarette.
Here,
you got any drugs
up
on you?
It's a menthol.
Oh, it tastes so minty and fresh.
Hey, after this, I'm going to go down to the Bijou and I'm going to get a handy from Donna Sue.
Okay.
Hey, fellas.
Shut the fuck up.
Who is this guy?
Ow.
Ow. Hey, get your hand off me. It's stuck to my face.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
I'm sorry. No, we're role-playing with him. It's okay.
Yeah, he understands. All right. Yeah, no, he just understands.
The
he
gets. Teacher's here.
Yeah.
No, we're just...
Now he's role-playing with the teacher.
Role-playing.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're
he's
getting...
He's really good. This is why he's one of the C-list celebrities.
Are you role-playing? Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting there's no teacher here. So everything that we're doing is role-playing.
I was trying to... create a situation where it felt like the teacher was there.
Well, right. And the teacher was going to intervene, but
yeah.
He's so cool that he's like...
Yeah, well, the two of us were...
Yeah, yeah. Who are the cool guys?
Cool brothers.
okay, so far, I might ask you, because you've... I guess at the beginning, you were sort of telling
me... You got to get yourself together, man. This is like...
Jeez, I got to go back to my own principle.
First of all, I thought it was really ingenious of you, David, to... He expects to be bullied for being gummy and sticky and sweaty, and you come in with fat jokes.
Yeah, I said that thinking, okay, I'm giving him an ability to go, hey, I'm not overweight. Right,
but he just took it.
But yeah, just took it.
I think
it.
Everyone feels overweight. So it's like one of the best insults because no matter... what weight you are, everyone feels like, ah, I could stand to lose it.
Especially anorexic people.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's like, yeah, they
yeah,
feel
exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, do you want to break down what we could do better?
As bullies?
How to bully you better.
So first of all, I want to say that if you're a bully, knock that off.
Don't listen to this
idiot. Listen to the cool brothers. We're cool.
Okay, I'm getting down close to the ground, and I'm going to crawl away.
Okay, I got to interject. Your two techniques right now are roll away and crawl away.
Yeah.
You're just a pussy.
Well, no, it's...
No? Oh, no, no. Yeah, so you're a pussy.
So the other guy...
Look at this pussy says what? Here. Pussy says what?
Huh?
Okay. Can't even get that shit right. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
So the other guys, they do a fire safety training assembly right before I do my anti-bullying assembly because they don't let me join in on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I
just
guess
because of the poll thing.
Well, because of the poll thing, and I mean that was what it started, and then they started finding all sorts of other like reasons to make fun of me.
Like what?
Well, the other day I thought I'm gonna wear my hat, my helmet. I'm gonna wear it backwards and see if I don't know, see how that looks and see how I feel wearing it that way.
So like someone wearing a backwards baseball
like someone wearing a backwards baseball cap or something.
Huh.
And I just to try it because I'd never seen that before, and I thought, well, maybe if I have like some sort of new persona.
And this is during an emergency?
Well, yeah, this is the alarms are going off and we're jumping into our boots.
You can't do this during an emergency. Those hats are built like that for a reason.
How so?
It's still hard.
Why
you got all the protection in the back now.
Right.
Instead of like towards the front where like the big part of the helmet is and you're going into fires, right?
Yeah.
You need it at the front.
Do you think the helmet is to protect me from the fire?
What do you think the helmet's from?
And, yeah.
That's what your brain is in the front of your head, right? We all agree with
the brain is that. My help. No, it's on the top.
Look
of
at this.
Head.
Look at this idiot at this with his hat backwards.
Backwards looking motherfucker.
What else do they make fun of you for?
Jeez, I feel like I'm in there right now. Just like,
well, that's what we're. I'm sorry, but we're. Yeah, that's
I know. You're trying to help.
Yeah, trying to help. Help ever, hurt never. That's my
exactly. Thing. That's what David's always said that. Yeah.
Okay. Something else that they've made fun of me about is a lot of times when I turn on the hose, it lifts me up into the air and I fly around.
What is that because you're the placement of the hose on you or what?
Apparently, well, the hose is very strong and I don't know if they're back there at the fire truck turning it on at extra high pressure just when I do it because this doesn't seem to happen to anybody else.
I doubt it.
And you know, it's weird because my feet don't stick to the ground.
Are you wearing shoes?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. See? Yeah.
So you thought your feet...
Bottom of my shoes aren't sticky.
You thought you would be like Spider-Man, just sticking to things...
Well, I was thinking like,
even okay... wearing shoes?
Well, I think if I'm...
Look at this guy. His feet don't stick to the ground over here.
Non-foot sticky motherfucker.
He's flying around on a hose.
Okay, I'm getting on the ground. I'm rolling away. Okay. I'm crawling. I'm going to put
a rag... We see you. Look at this guy crawling away.
I'm putting a rag over my face.
Crawling is literally the slowest form of movement.
Hey, rag face.
Oh, gosh. They're calling me rag face now. Okay. Kids. Don't, if you don't want to be bullied, just don't do any of the things that I've been doing here today, because apparently it's not working.
Yeah, don't be weird. Don't be a fucking weirdo like this guy, right?
Don't be a crawling backwards hat, rag sticky face motherfucker, rag here. Face.
Yeah. Now get the hell out of here.
Okay.
I'm going to kick you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Scott, for letting me do my PSA.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a little too easy. You know? Don't you think so, David? I mean, when you bully someone in real life, you want a little bit of resistance, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a big bullier, but I've kind of got a taste for it now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. It felt good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was just because of him, not me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but also we were the cool brothers.
We were the cool brothers. Yeah. Yeah.
So that had a lot to do with it. We were so in character.
I'll meet you on the corner. We'll do some doo-wop over a barrel fire.
Oh, don't do that.
Oh, why?
Oh, does that intimidate you, doo-wop?
No, it's the barrel fire part that...
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. We forgot. Yeah, although, sorry.
But that's a contained fire. I would think you'd appreciate that.
But
even contained fires can grow
anywhere.
Fire. And the doo-wop is, you don't have a problem with
doo-wop. I don't have a problem. I mean, it's a little bit intimidating. Seeing two guys listening to doo-wop on the street.
Listening to doo-wop? We're performing it.
Oh, you're doing it too.
Singing.
Just people listening to doo-wop is
intimidating. He takes the low, I take the high.
And they can, can I get a pot?
We don't need a middle.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Doo-wop is famously two-man
operation. Two-wop is what we call it. Well, look, Ryan, you're just a pussy. The verdict is in. But can you stick around? I would love to get your insights into our guests that are coming up. We have a manicurist coming up. We have a hostage negotiator. That sounds fun, right?
Well, I don't know if I want to.
All right, get the fuck out of here.
No, can I please?
All right, there. I like that better. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have more David Cross, more Ryan Hedbord. We'll be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang after this. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, what if I just said tough luck and then ended it? No, I actually have the perfect gift, and I stand by this one 100%. I've talked about it. Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. How many photos do you think you've taken in your life? Four? More? Well, it's unlimited how many photos you can share on this thing. And I believe me, I've tested it out. It is super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving Aura as a gift, you can personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. And that's what I did. I gave these to all of my loved ones, and we put photos of our new baby into the frame, and they love it. My mom would rather watch the Aura frame than TV. She just sits there like watching the new photos come up. She loves it. I love them. I think it's one of the greatest inventions to ever be invented. Thank goodness whoever did it, I couldn't, Mr. Aura, if you're out there, we love you. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is AuraFrames, AuraFrames.com. Use code BANGBANG at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace, you know what it is. It's the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it is easy to create a beautiful website to engage with your audience all on your terms. And let me tell you something. You do not want to miss Fluid Engine. Oh, Fluid Engine is here, a next-generation website design system from Squarespace. You start with a best-in-class website template and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag and drop technology for desktop or mobile. And with the new asset library, you're able to manage all your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. So head to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you are ready to launch, of course, go to squarespace.com/bangbang to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. You gotta admit, shopping for humans, it's so hard. But you know what? Shopping for your dog? Oh, that's easy thanks to Bark. Every month, Bark delivers toys and treats just for your pup. They deserve to be spoiled, don't they? Every month? Why not? At Bark, we send your dog a whole new collection of toys and treats made just for them every single month. Whether it's fun plush toys from BarkBox or ultra-tough toys from Super Chewer, Bark gives your dog exactly what they want. And for a limited time, Bark will double your first box for free. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/bangbang. That's BarkBox.com/bangbang. Now, we have been Bark subscribers for a long time, and we would get the boxes every month, and our dogs love them. In fact, they love them so much that the opening of the package, they would be jumping up on us. They love them so much that after a few months, any package that was delivered, they thought it was for them, and they would get very, very excited. We'd say, no, this was actually just a book that I ordered. It's very, very exciting when you give a BarkBox. Sign up now at BarkBox.com/bangbang for an exclusive offer. This ad is over now. Let's go back to petting our dogs. Comedy Bang Bang, we're back. David Cross is here. Worst Daddy in the World Tour. Kicking off this week and running up until the summer, and then he's taking the summer off and then back on the road, baby. Till Christmas?
No, till the end of October.
And ooh, Halloween time! Spooky.
Literally up till Halloween.
Yeah. Really? Are you doing a Halloween show? Or are you going to dress up?
No, I want to be back for Halloween. In my neighborhood is like really fun and intense, and all the kids get together, and I want to be there for my daughter and all her friends. And stuff.
Sounds like October 30th, your last show?
29th.
Okay. Yeah. And then you're doing a travel day, and then you're back resh and frested on.
Resh and frested. Yeah. I'm going out on the road. I have two amazing opening acts. I got Sean Patton.
Oh, you know I love
he's
Sean.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's opening up, and the Cool Brothers are doing
the Cool Brothers. Yeah, the Cool Brothers. Shit. I got to clear my schedule.
Yeah. And they come out and do about an hour and a half.
Well, PSA, and, do we need to get Ryan Hedward here?
No, they would not. They wouldn't.
Oh, they wouldn't
I
do
I tried okay. to, and they said no.
Oh, okay.
They're cool. Too cool.
All right. Well, Ryan Hedward, by the way, is here.
Yeah. How are you?
Good. Yeah. You were cowering in the corner during the entire break. What is going on with that?
I feel like I didn't do a good job of standing up to the bullying or even applying my own.
Well, it was the Cool Brothers, you know. Yeah, they're really good at
intimidating.
It.
Intimidating. Can I say something? Make an observation that for somebody who is so has self esteem issues and
fat.
Just, and well forget well, that, but
that
just,
has
we you know just true. a weak. Spirit.
A spineless cuck.
A weak, you know, I think it's
I'm
really,
not married, so I can't.
You can't technically be, can't a be a cuck. Do you have a girlfriend?
I think it's really admirable that you fight fire.
So a virgin.
I think that's really, that's cool. And that's great.
Have you ever put out a fire?
Well, I did have a fire once that I was trying to put it out. But the water was coming out as like a little trickle.
Oh, and then the hose.
In the hose, yeah.
This usually it's super blasted.
Right, but this time I said, hey, fellas, don't turn up the pressure super high. So maybe they turned it down all the way. And it was coming out as a trickle. And the fire just kind of gave up. Like it got bored.
The fire did. Wow.
It was almost like this guy's not even worth it.
It's one way to do it.
And it just kind of receded.
Well, whatever it takes.
Yeah, it put itself out. So I mean, I count it as a win.
That's in the W column, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm not comfortable with compliments anyway, so it's probably for the best if you know, I'm not doing anything super heroic. You know, just I don't. I'm sort
you
of
should, you should. I mean, I think it would be best if you just went home and you know, and then just stayed there until you died.
That's, yeah.
Huh.
After this show, of course, we want you to stick around for our next guests.
Uh-huh. But then after that.
After that, I mean, that's one way to go. Yeah.
Something to think about.
What is it about me that you want me to stick around even for the part of the show?
Oh, brother.
If you just want me to go fucking die.
I almost want the Cool Brothers to come back here.
No, please don't bring the Cool Brothers.
Okay. All right. But that's on the table if you keep acting like this.
You're
going
to hold that over me the whole rest of the show?
Yes, indeed. We need to get to our next guest. Is that all right, Ryan?
That's fine with me.
All right. Let's talk to her. She is a manicurist. Interesting. All right, let's talk to her. Please welcome for the first time, Sherry Lemoine.
Thank you Lemoine? So much. Yes, but I go by Sherry Pie because...
Sherry Pie.
I think, doesn't everybody want a piece of pie? You know?
Oh, I get it. It's like Cherry Pie, the Warrant song.
Oh.
Yeah, she's my cherry pie. See, that's back when horny was horny.
Yeah.
You know? Or maybe that's just the music that makes me horny.
Oh, it makes you horny. Oh, are you horny right now?
It's not pour some sugar on me, but cherry, she's my cherry pie. It's pretty good. I like girls, girls, girls too. That one's good.
Yeah, three good songs. One's about girls.
Mm-hmm.
One's about pouring sugar on girls.
And dessert.
Yeah.
They're just different forms of dessert.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm also a big fan of, I can't remember the hook, but the she's knocking me out with those American thighs.
Yeah.
I like the idea of thinking about thighs as being American. And that can be a turn on. But yeah. I think a lot of things can be a turn on.
We don't remember the hook to that song, though. But we all remember the American thighs. But the hook eludes us.
Yeah, what is the hook of that song?
Knocking me out with those American thighs.
You shook me all night long.
There's the hook.
See what I'm talking about? There's a horny sound to that type of music. I don't know if it's the hair band or just maybe it's that I was the age of horniness at the time.
How old of a woman are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Well... we're growing up in an ageist society. Ageism is the most socially acceptable ism.
I need a number.
Okay. Would it surprise you if I told you I was in my mid-50s?
Your reference is no, it would not.
Okay.
That sounds about right.
I'm in my mid-50s.
Okay. When we say mid, what are we talking?
54.
Okay.
And I prefer the evens.
I would consider that early 50s.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? Once you hit 55, then you go mid-50s, and then you take that all the way up to 58, I think.
Yeah.
And then 59 is late.
Wait, wouldn't it be literally the middle?
I know, but I think you can get away with it is what I'm saying. You can still say like early 50s until literally the day before your 55th
birthday. Yeah, but then people end up having this very conversation, and now you're really focusing on it, and that's what you don't want.
You're saying that if I said, oh, I'm in my early 50s and I'm 54 and a half, you would then say I was a liar?
I wouldn't say you're a liar. The first thing I'd say is like, I think it's adorable that you're that old and you still you use half for your age.
And what about three quarters?
I wish more people would say, excuse me, but I'm 72 and a half years old. I don't need to be treated like this.
What if I did it by months? I'm 5,000.
then I got to do the math. And then by the time I figure it out, you're long gone.
Yeah. And so is your checkbook. Yeah.
But now you can have a chatbot do the math for you.
That's such a good point. AI, are you interested in AI?
I am. I find it fascinating.
Every once in a while, I'll look at the thing that says AI and it looks like the word Al.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You're not sure if we're talking just about a guy, a one-syllable named guy.
It's like weird AI Yankovic.
Mm-hmm.
What are we programming him to do? Make fun of everything?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to live in that world.
No.
Ryan, I know you don't want to live in that world.
I don't want to live in
in any world.
In any world.
Yeah. So should I call you Sherry Pie? Is that what
I like it. Yeah.
Okay, Sherry Pie.
It's memorable, right?
Yeah. When
did you first
come up with that? Well, to be honest with you, it was a lover who started affectionately referring to me as Sherry Pie, and I liked it. So I've asked every lover since, and also just regular social
situations. Now you've widened it out to everyone in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I find it to be memorable. And I also wanted to say, I started out as a manicurist, but I am branching out or expanding, I should say, I'm an anesthetician. I have trouble with it in the same way. It's like a Worcestershire.
Well, it's hard to say, especially if you're coming to it late in life.
Yeah.
You know, and suddenly you have to be one.
Right.
I wouldn't want to be in your position.
So yeah, I've started to work with eyebrows too, because some people, you know, everybody has nails.
So we have fingernails.
Yeah.
We have eyebrows.
Yeah.
And anesthesia.
Yeah.
These are your three areas of expertise.
Yeah.
And do people come into the store wanting one? Do they want them all? Do you go, hey, give me the full gamut?
You can get a full gamut.
Put me under, do my nails, do my brows.
Yeah. Knock me out. Because it gets tedious.
Those American thighs.
See?
Yeah.
What did about like tedious? Skin? Do you do skincare?
I do some skincare. I use a lot of ice. I use a lot of tape. I think tape can draw things out of the skin. If you put something sticky on your skin, you would be fantastic.
So
in
you're
that
saying
regard.
More, even put something else that's sticky on it.
Because we got a guy here. He's like a human roll of duct tape, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, now that is what the guys at the station was saying.
That is one of the ones they hit on. Yeah.
What about the thing that you get, you roll it and it
lint
takes
roll.
The lint roller.
Lint roller. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're covered in lint, I noticed.
So I'm, that would make, I would need a lint roller, but can you?
No,
remove,
you are a lint roller.
I know.
What
I
say.
That's what I'm asking. It's can like, you remove lint from a lint roller?
See, this is
with
the thing.
A lint roller?
This is what the big lint roller is having us do. We buy these lint rollers, they're covered in lint, and then you need another lint roller to get
just
the lint,
get
off?
Lint off?
Well,
your lint roller.
The fuck, Addy.
That we can agree on.
We can finally, we got something. Hello, yeah. Sherry Pie.
But I was thinking, speaking of bullying, that maybe you should treat bullies like you treat a fire. You're not going to change the fire. You just have to respond to the fire being itself. You're not going to change a
you
bully,
can change
right?
a fire technically by throwing water on it.
Yeah, or being so pathetic that it just puts itself out. But no, that's really good advice. I mean, yeah, like there's only, you can only control the things you control. I mean, that's why I usually decide to stop, drop, and roll away, because at least that's something I can do.
You could treat it kind of like, have you ever heard any survivalists talk to you about like how to survive an encounter with a bear?
Like try to be bigger than it.
Yes. Or,
depending on if it's a black bear or a brown
bear. That's right. It depends on the color
and
of the
I
bear.
And I can't remember. Because
black bears eat their meat spoiled. So you got to play dead. Brown bears.
Wait, you said that like you had a way to remember it, like a mnemonic thing or something. Black bears
eat spoiled meat at night. Spoiled. So you gotta play dead.
So you play dead. What they're gonna do is they're gonna bury you because they want you to spoil for 3 days. That's, I think, the desired amount of fermentation.
And they come and they leave and come back.
So they're giving you a 3 day getaway.
And as long as you leave within that 3 day period.
Yeah, and you're going to have to dig yourself out of the, they're going to bury
you
so that your meat's gets spoiled. They might even take a nibble, you know? And so you're just going to have to keep playing dead while they take a nibble.
It's hard to when they take a nibble.
Yeah, and then they're going to bury you, and then you're going to get away. You're going to be holding your side where they took a nibble maybe while you're getting to yourself to some medical care.
But the brown bears eat their meat.
Fresh. So you also have to play dead. Same strategy, because if you can convince them that you're dead, they'll be like, I only eat fresh meat. So in both instances, play dead.
But who's the ones you're supposed to look bigger than?
I think...
Grizzly bear?
Well, you're never going to look bigger than a bear. You're supposed to look bigger than a coyote. But if you try to look bigger to a bear, well, maybe it's always going to...
What if I get like a big lens and I put it in front of the front of the bear?
Like a funhouse mirror kind of situation.
Yeah.
I mean, you're already like a human funhouse mirror in a way.
Yeah, you could maybe even... You could direct the sun through your transparency toward the bear and try to burn it.
Oh, wow.
But I do have to say, you also could come across a white bear. And the only strategy come across a white bear is to pray to your maker because you're about to meet him. There's no way.
What if you look like a Coca-Cola bottle or something?
then instead of taking a chomp out of you, they're going to come up. They're going to try to take a swig.
Take a drink out of
you. Yeah. And you better taste carbonated.
But yeah.
And like
true.
A dark, sugary, brown, syrupy.
How do you know so much about bears?
Well, I've gone through survivalist phases.
Oh.
I don't have a bunker or anything like that. But speaking of AI, we don't know what's coming. You know, they say it could be full integration. You know, we're afraid that the AI is going to turn on us. But I am of the mind that it is going to be us.
See, here's the thing. Everyone's like, oh, no, these robots, they're going to turn on us. They're going to turn on us. Don't give them thumbs.
See.
Like dogs would kill us in an instant, but they don't have thumbs. They can't open doors. They can't open the refrigerator.
Yeah, then there'd be like a planet of apes or some kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. That, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm getting into brow coaching.
Cool.
Yeah.
Brow coaching?
What does that mean?
I'm a brow coach. because people are really, gals mostly, are getting really into brows. You want to have a strong brow. A strong brow connotes youth. I don't know if I used connotes right, but it felt right, right?
It's so hard to say because sometimes you could go, is it connotates? Connotes? I don't know, you know, but I think you got it. I think you nailed it.
I don't think you did.
And that's not a pun because of the manicurist thing, the nailed it thing. Do you hear that a lot, though?
I do. I enjoy a nail pun to this day. They don't get old because I got a good sense of humor. And
you have a great sense of humor.
Everybody's got nails. Except sometimes you'll have somebody who this one got ripped off or that one.
Or I've just been tortured and they tore off all of my toenails, my fingernails.
That happens too. And and that's why I got into brow coaching.
What is brow coaching? That's where you're trying to coach the brow to come out of the skull in a certain way.
Yeah. Encourage the hair growth, encourage the pattern of growth, encourage the direction of growth. You start out with stencils and you're encouraging, you put a stencil against the face and then you start to treat the area that is showing through the stencil with different plant-based serums. If you can get your hands on a real organic human
hands on a real organic human?
Well, you two both have wives and kids. Have you ever seen, did you watch the placenta come out of your gal?
I don't think the placenta ever even went in my gal.
Oh, is that right?
We had a surrogate, so.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, but David, what about the placenta for you? Was that a fun time?
It was tough at first, but
you deal with it.
But I just had to add some salt and a little bit of turmeric and nutmeg.
That's another hard word to say, isn't it? Turmeric.
Yeah, because it's got the R in the weird place.
Yeah,
turmeric. It doesn't seem right.
I say one of the odds because he comes before a vowel.
Yeah, there's this doctor on TV who's always advertising, and he sounds like he's slurring his words. He's like turmeric.
Yeah,
you know, you can't say it and not sound.
Why is the doctor always saying that on TV?
I don't know. He's selling some sort of supplement that has it in there.
I see.
He's trying to show off that he can pronounce it right, but it just doesn't. It sounds weird.
That turns me off.
Yeah, exactly.
No, thank you.
I think we give doctors too much authority. They're just regular assholes like us
who have gone to school for a certain thing. But
yeah.
Who do you hold in high esteem, doctors or firefighters?
Because during the pandemic, we were all supposed to like bang on our fucking pots for doctors for like a year.
Yeah. Yeah. I did that a couple times. I did that two or three nights
and you were done.
Yeah. Yeah. That felt like noise pollution.
That's the thing. I have no idea what I'm saying.
Well, what I was going to say is I feel like I got nothing against firefighters. They feel like in the world of cops and firefighters, you know, what are you gonna say bad about a firefighter? They're, you know, way less asshole.
A lot of people have said a lot of bad things about me. I know that, but.
Yeah.
You don't represent all firefighters.
Uh-huh. What you needed to do in those cases was just play dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Play dead.
Well, you know, they have that whole thing about ACAB, right? All cops are bastards, right? But we're not supposed to say that about firefighters?
Well, it would be weird to say ACAB, and I'm talking about firefighters.
This is a good point. Thank you. Yeah, this is a good point.
I don't know. Say whatever you want to me. I don't care.
Yeah,
and where do we stand on that stuff of thanking firefighters or cops or military people in the airport? I always feel like there's a pressure when you see someone in camo in the airport that you're supposed to go up and you got to say a thing. And,
yeah, I don't like it. Yeah.
Remember when you guys had American flags like flying off the back of your truck? What, do you remember the day people were like, let's take it down?
Yeah, I remember they took it down because they were like, this reminds me too much of Ryan when he was like stuck to that pole.
Oh, yeah. You are like a flag.
Yeah.
In a way, you're a human
half mass.
Are you sure it's because of the composition of your body or because of your erection?
Could be. Well, could be all three.
All three. I only listen to
the
pole
part.
Got it. Well, this is good. I mean, where is your shop located?
I'm on Franklin.
In town?
I'm south of Franklin. Yeah, I'm south of Franklin, north of Vine, and I'm right next to a psychic. So you can kind of get multiple needs met in one trip.
So you can get put under, get your brows coached. Get your nails done and then go next door and see what you should be doing for the rest of the day.
Yeah. That's get some great direction about your future.
This is great.
Yeah.
Well, we need to take a break, if that's all right. Is it all right, by the way?
It feels good to me.
Okay. It feels natural at this point, doesn't it?
It feels natural. These American thighs are given two thumbs up. Hey, don't give these thighs thumbs. They'll be unstoppable. They'll be doing more than knocking you out. They'll be stealing your cell phone and learning your passcodes.
Jeez, I'm cowering in the corner as you describe it.
You've like curled up into a little ball like a roly-poly bug or something.
I know.
Like
I'm going to take a bite. See if I can take a chomp.
You look like an appetizer or something.
I'm dead. I'm spoiled.
Okay. Well, let's see. Not too spoiled. Let's see if I take a little additional nibble here.
Ow.
No, you have to play dead.
Sorry.
Well, now you're really going to be truly dead because you didn't convince me that you're dead. So now I have to kill you.
Okay.
Don't just say okay when someone says I have to kill you. God, you were such a pussy. All right. Look, we have to take a break. When we come back, we have a hostage negotiator packed show here today. Awesome. We'll be right back with more David Cross, more Ryan Hedbord, more Sherry Pie.
Yeah, see?
We'll be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang after this. This show, Comedy Bang Bang, is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is your social battery drained right now? Or are you bursting with energy? What's your level? What is going on with your social battery? Do you have, maybe you don't have enough boundaries, or maybe you're less social in the winter? What's going on with you? What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Well, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bangbang today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bangbang. Remember the first time you learned how to ride a bicycle? Just taking your feet off of the ground and putting them on those pedals. And oh no, nothing's holding you up except your own sense of balance. Oh gosh, the nostalgia for something like that. Well, you know what? You can experience it again this spring. Get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric E-Bike. That's right. They have an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, including mine, poor. It's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Go to electricebikes.com to discover e-bikes that start at just $799. With the XP Lite, anyone can ride with a variety of models designed to be a better mode of transportation. There's the zippy and affordable XP Lite, a great start to any e-bike journey. And we also have the Expedition. That's right, the letter X and then Pedition, a sturdy and versatile cargo e-bike that can hold up to 450 pounds. You know what? Electric e-bikes, they gave my good friend Paul F. Tompkins one of these things. He loves it. He's tootling around every day on it. Ring, ring. Hello. Hello, everyone. It's improved his social life. He used to be a hermit. He used to be sort of a Scrooge-like miser character. And now he's out there on that electric e-bike saying hello to the entire community. And you can, too. Go full throttle into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. Please, please, please mention the Comedy Bang Bang the podcast sent you in the post-checkout survey. That is electric, L-E-C-T-R-I-C, and then ebikes.com. That's how you get there. Okay, bye. Comedy Bang Bang, we're back. We have David Cross, Worst Daddy in the World Tour. OfficialDavidCross.com is where you get all that information. We also have Ryan Hedbord. Do you have an official RyanHedbord.com?
OfficialRyanHedbord.com.
You do?
Yeah, that's where I post about my, the PSA tours that I'm doing, or the assembly tours. Yeah, that's where you can go there if you want to. I mean,
okay, you gotta be more assertive here.
You gotta sell it.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm just I don't know. I'm feeling kind of beat down today. So
yeah, it's because the Cool Brothers got in there and they're here.
earlier.
Okay, look. We also have Sherry Pie is here, manicurist slash brow coach slash anesthesiist.
Yes. Can you make me look angry? Is there a way to make eyebrows look angry.
Yeah, it's very easy. All you have to do is they have to go up and not come back down. You know how most eyebrows go either straight across and then a little down at the end?
Yeah.
Or they go up a little bit and then down. I know this isn't a visual medium. If you could see my fingers out there, dear listener, you'd understand. But if you don't have the part coming down, you look like an evil villain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you just have to make them going up.
That activated Siri somehow. You're describing this.
Hey, Siri.
Hey, Siri, hey. Pizer up manicure. Oh, just turn it off.
Hey, Siri, do you know Al? Huh? see if we can get Siri and AI talking to each other.
All right, we have to get to our next guest. He's a hostage negotiator. Really interesting. I don't know that we've ever talked to a hostage negotiator before. Mm. Maybe once before. I don't know. But he's here. Let's talk to him. His name is Jim Bolt.
Hey, Scotty. How are you doing? Hey, David. And a little sticky fellow over there. Nice to see you. And a lovely lady. And happy to be here. Just happy.
Happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jim Bolt.
Jim Bolt. Yep. Everything's pretty good on the horizon with hostages. Nothing going down today, which is good. That's a blessing.
So there's like a hostage forecast?
There's a hostage forecast. We get it every day. It's kind of like the shipping news. You know, it comes in and they're going to say, you know, we got one at the bank. We got one tax place. We got one. Usually,
tax place.
A lot of hostages. Oh, you'd be surprised at tax place. H&R Block. I've had more things go down to H&R Block. You can imagine.
Yeah, people get mad when they find out how much they owe.
Oh, my friend. It's
usually because they owe money, right? Because they go, oh my God, look at all this money I'm getting.
Or sometimes,
now.
You know, you got your accountant in there and he's going, hey, fella, this is going to take me a couple hours. And you're going, hell no, it's not. And he's saying, you know, that's going to cost you $55 extra. And you're going, hell no, it's not. And then you got a guy.
And then suddenly there's a gun to his head.
Suddenly there's a gun to his head. But, you know, hostage forecast today.
Looks good.
Pretty good.
Clear.
72 and sunny. That's how we say it. Yeah, but I'm happy to be here. I'm a huge David Cross fan, and I'm a huge fan of all these people, except for this fellow over here, this sticky old guy, you know?
I mean,
now, why is you not a fan of me just because you don't know who I am?
I don't know you. I don't like you.
You've never been to official RyanHedberg.com?
I don't know how you could put those letters together and get a website. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not that I don't trust you, but that's a hostage negotiation stances. You can't trust anybody. That's the thing. You got to look at it. You can't trust anybody.
You're doing your thing.
Yeah. So you can't trust anybody. So when I go into a negotiation, my first thing is I'm thinking, this is probably not going to end good.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Because only about, only about 99, I would say 99 of 100 times. It's not. Yeah, I'm just saying, go to the SWAT guys. You know, they're just going to go.
99
out of 100 times.
The hostages are killed.
99 out of 100 times, Scott. And that's just the plain Jane truth.
Those are bad odds. I mean, it sounds like I don't know why anyone would hire a negotiator.
There's got to be a better negotiator.
Well, you know, they have us. You know, this has been the thing recently. They've been pulling back all the funding for hostage negotiators. Oh. So, you know, we're stretched thin.
Budget cuts. Oh, yeah. How big was your department before this?
Well, before we had, I would say we had 30 or 40 full-time hostage negotiators.
30 or 40 full-time?
Definitely. Tax season, yes. Definitely. 30, 40.
Okay, sure.
They're part-time.
I understand in April.
So do they all get sent out or is it like you rotate? Like what happens? Does an alarm go off and everybody?
Do you got to go down a pole at all? Asking.
We go down a pole. We go down a pole.
You've walked by a hostage negotiator.
House. Yeah.
It's like a TikTok house. You know, kind of sticks all in one house, so we can make content.
You're making content.
Oh, we make Scott. You know, when it's not busy like today. Today we're up there thinking, hey, can you dunk a basketball in the pool? And I'll see if I can get that, and then I'll eat some chips and be like,
sounds like bad TikTok. you shouldn't be pitching TikToks.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, if anybody out there,
you dunk a basketball in a pool, he gets it, and then you eat chips.
Yep. That's one of those things that we'd be like chipped or whatever. You know.
Okay.
That's fun.
Now, when you say it that way.
So yeah, you know. So right now it's cutbacks, and that puts a lot of stress on the system. But I would say even when we were fully staffed, 99 out of 100 times, you're in a hostage negotiation. You know, you're just telling your guys go because their gunshots have already gone off.
Yeah. So if you're a hostage, are there tips? You know, like
yes,
like say two cool brothers were to be abducted.
Oh, so so you're saying two cool brothers get abducted and they're being held hostage? Yeah, or they're holding someone hostage.
I'm liking this scenario.
Why don't we hold him hostage?
Okay, great. Oh, this would be great because I could coach y'all a little bit on how I would deal with you two cool brothers had this guy in a hostage situation. I could kind of figure it out.
Okay,
and try
great.
To
yeah, let's do it.
We don't even need a gun or a weapon. No, we just say like sit the fuck down. He sits down.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty good.
All right. Whatever you say. I don't want no trouble.
And this is good. All right. Now, first off, fella, just little wet fella, I'm going to ask you to just, you can't say anything because words are weapons. That's rule number one. Uh-huh. Words are weapons.
Wait, he's not allowed to say anything?
He's not allowed. Hostage should never say anything. Now, you couple cool fellas, I'd love to hear a few more riffs from y'all because I just to kind of up the stakes. You know, if you can up the stakes, then it's going to give the hostage negotiator a little more to deal with. So give us a couple more things about this little sticky guy that we could really get in there with.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, ramen pants. What's your deal?
Yeah. Hey, ear man, it looks like you got two ears on the side of your head over there.
All right. Now you get to make one call. Is that
usually in a hostage negotiation?
Like the police often they get one call.
Can they call their lawyer?
Yeah. Well, they could call a lawyer. Have you seen?
They call you, right? They would call a hostage negotiator.
That would be the best choice. Most times they don't.
You're saying it's like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It's phone a friend.
They phone a friend. They usually phone their smartest friend, and their smartest friend usually gets it wrong.
Okay.
But do you need to phone? Do you want to phone? You get one call. Who do you call here?
Here's your phone, all right?
Yeah, you can make one call, you son of a bitch.
All right, make your call.
And I'm not calling anybody.
Oh, see.
Because I'm not supposed to talk, because words are weapons.
See, he's following the protocol. Now, just because he followed the protocol doesn't mean he survived.
Let's kill him. What do you say?
There you go.
Ow.
And they just...
Ow. I shot you in the head.
Sorry.
See, Scott, that's kind of how it goes down most times.
Right.
Most times, it's just you can't even get in there.
You just can't win for losing.
And that's kind of the position we find ourselves in right now in the hostage field.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to be tough. Yeah. I mean, at this point, like, usually a hostage is... Or the person who takes the hostage is always like, "Give me a helicopter." But nowadays it's like a helicopter.
Yeah. Right. Where are you gonna go? It's not like the movies, Scott. Yeah. Most movies, the hostages, you know, get out. They negotiate, but it's because
we don't want to see hostages get killed. Because we go to the movies to escape reality.
Not usually. There have been a few of David Cross's movies that I think hostages did get killed in. Some of his early work.
I'm trying to think. Small Soldiers?
Sure. Yeah.
Amelia Earhart, The Final Flight.
Wow. That is a deep dive, a deep cut.
The Final Flight.
Reporter number three. I was reporter number three.
What happened on this flight that it was the last one?
Well, I mean, technically, she's being held hostage by an airplane, isn't she, David?
That's a good point.
I mean,
and she was part of the 99%.
But the Final Flight was the second movie they made. They made the Amelia Earhart, The Penultimate Flight, and it was really boring. It was just...
Yeah, it's just her, like...
Very uneventful.
Right. Yeah,
she flew, she gets off, she has dinner.
Yeah.
You know.
Sees a show, maybe.
Yeah.
Calls her family.
Yeah. She flew to Broadway.
Right.
You know, landed in Times Square and then got out and saw a show.
Landed right in the middle of Times Square.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of people don't think of those as hostage movies, but, you know, when I'm training other hostage negotiators, those are two of the films I show them.
Really?
Oh, sure.
I would imagine you could see a hostage situation in almost any situation.
Well, David, this is one of the things I tell everyone. Every negotiation you're in is a hostage negotiation.
Oh, okay. Wow. I know the Mike
Marriage
Nichols.
Marriage counseling?
Oh, that's maybe the number one.
Yeah,
and that's actually one that we respond to a lot.
Is that right?
Really?
People being taken hostage inside of marriage therapy.
Mm. By the therapist or the couple's taking the therapist hostage?
Okay, so now this little wet guy.
Hey, shut up.
Okay.
Or is the marriage itself the
idea of marriage to a lot of people is
being held hostage.
Is this to you? The idea of,
you know,
are you involved with anyone?
In my marriages, I have been.
Marriages?
Yeah, I've been held hostages in a number of marriages. But I've negotiated pretty much 99 times out of 100. I have not exited those marriages well, if that makes sense.
I see. But you're still alive. That's good.
I'm still alive.
So you've been married 100 times.
100 times?
99 times.
90. Oh.
Oh, okay.
Wait, how is that even possible?
David, and you know, I'm a big fan, and I don't want to get into the details with you because I want to impress you mostly. But
well, you pulled out Amelia Earhart, reporter number three.
Well, I'm a huge movie buff, and that's one of
the, I thought you were a fan of his. You're just downgrading it to you're a movie buff?
Well, I'm sorry. You're coming off. I'm a huge movie buff of the oeuvre. Is that what
is that the word?
Yeah, I believe okay, so. Okay, because I was, yeah, also a Worcestershire situation.
Of the oeuvre of David Cross.
Of David Cross, specifically. I was a summer camp counselor. I was all these different things. Awesome. And those are a lot of places where just marriages happen quickly. You're in, you're out.
I see.
Summer camp.
Right. Yeah. You would know you were in Wet Hot American Summer.
Were you?
No.
Yeah, now you're just guessing.
I could have sworn you were.
But
I have a lot of friends who were in there.
Okay.
Yeah, but you didn't really get that call? Like you were there, though. Are you sure you weren't there?
I saw it in the theater.
Oh. Huh. Did you like it?
I enjoyed it very much, yeah.
Did it feel like you could have written any of those lines or improvised any of those lines?
I think I could go toe-to-toe, sure.
You could see yourself in it, but you're fairly certain you were not in it.
I was definitely not in it. I'm again good friends with a lot of those folks.
It really feels like you were in it. It I would have put money on it.
No,
I would have. That is your movie, man.
No.
Wow.
You're above the title. No. In my imagination.
Yeah, you're the first name on the poster.
Imagination is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Wow. You should be getting residuals for it then at least.
No, I mean, I was in Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy. You're thinking of that.
Oh, okay. You were what? You were the mummy?
I was mummy number three.
Mummy number three. Yep. That's the thing. Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy, just singular. Mm-hmm. They don't tell you there's mummies out the wazoo in this film.
Yeah, well, that was all. They were putting that out there just on the hopes of making a big, you know, tent poles.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. The dark universe. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Exactly. The dark Abbott and Costello universe.
Mm-hmm. God, I would have put $1,000 on you. And
I apologize. I think I was thinking of another fella, but
who are you thinking of? Bradley Cooper?
You know, it might have been Brad.
Yeah.
It might have been Brad.
Brad, you call him.
Yeah. And, but, you know, he's a versatile actor. So is Mr. Cross. And that is something that is good in hostage negotiation, too. You got to be versatile. Got to be versatile.
That's you got to be versatile. So, because what will happen in a negotiation where you have to pivot?
Well, you know, the outcome is essentially
preordained. Right. Yeah. So the hostages are getting killed.
99
times. What are you even there for? Yeah.
So you got to be versatile, David, in how you approach your reaction to the end game, because you know the end game's probably going to be bad, and you're not going to go home and say, well, I'm depressed again, right? You got to think of a way of
the silver lining in all the hostages.
Silver Linings Playbook, which you were in.
You were amazing in Silver Linings Playbook.
I love
you should have gotten an Oscar for that.
That's kind of nice, but no, I wasn't in that movie. Again,
oh, really?
It's a movie I saw. I
would
did
have
see
sworn.
It.
Yeah, again, I think you might be thinking of Bradley Cooper.
God.
Yeah, it was Brad Cooper.
Well, at least you were in the one with the girl with the nose who should sing in that, not act.
I think she's thinking of the Star Is Born.
You were in the original Star Is Born.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I was in I was in the Pia Zadora remake.
Oh, yeah,
that's the best 80s. One.
Right. Yeah, I played Zadora.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that is what I'm saying. You got to be versatile with your attitude after the outcome of the thing.
So a hostage situation is kind of like what Sherry Pye was saying about like a fire, where like you can't really do anything about it. You just kind of have to.
You have to manage your own reactions to it.
I think that's right. I mean, it's probably like an eyebrow that won't come out. You know, you probably just have to manage your reaction.
Now
to
you're
that.
Talking her language.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Well, I have been married 99 times and it wouldn't surprise me if today's 100.
And this bitch could be one.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you. You said 99 times out of 100, the marriages go bad.
That's right.
Number 100.
Here you go.
I mean, I would be.
Are we making a love connection here?
I would truly
what kind
be
of pie
honored.
Do you like? What kind of pie do you like? Are you like a savory pie? You like a sweet pie? What kind of pie do you like?
I mean, I like all sorts of pie. Mincemeat pie. I'm into.
That's a savory, but she's a cherry pie.
Okay.
You want to pivot into sweet pies?
Yeah. Again, I'm just trying to control my reaction to inevitably
Look,
could be a bad.
I'm just going to lay it out here on the table. I think I see something between you two. If you want to go on a second date, we'll pay for it.
Oh, this is.
Wow. Okay, I'm in. Let's go to Ruth's Chris.
Oh,
I'll
all right.
Get a side of cream spinach.
That we would pay for Ruth's Chris necessarily, but you know.
That's another one. That's kind of a Worcestershire situation where you're like, is that two names? Am I saying that? Ruth's Chris? Why are you putting the apostrophe S on
See,
the
you guys
Ruth's
are hitting
part?
It off here. I know. Have a lot to talk about.
American pie. That's what you were in. American pie.
You played that pie that kid fucked, right?
No.
That was Brad Cooper.
God, it felt like you were...
Eugene Levy is who you think.
Eugene Levy, yeah.
Okay, oh, exactly. Yeah.
Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. Schitt's Creek you were in?
No, I wasn't in.
Okay.
Oh, right. Again, these are all things I've seen. I have seen
You have watched
them.
These. Good. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's almost like being in them.
I think so. I think it counts. That's why I put it on my IMDb page. That's probably what is confusing you, because I put literally every movie I've ever seen on there.
Oh, is that?
Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah. Oh, okay. So it could be any movie you were involved in, paid for,
or watched.
Yeah. I went to the, if I can, you know, and I keep all my ticket stubs in case anybody, you know, the federal government.
Yeah, refutes it. Yeah.
I've got all the stubs.
Or it saves it on iTunes if you purchased it to watch it at home.
He's kind of treating IMDb like a Goodreads.
I have a hostage.
Seen it, he puts it on there.
Yep.
I have a hostage question, as long as I have an expert here. I've heard that it's really important that you introduce yourself, say your name a lot, so that you identify yourself as, I'm just a human, and you, cool brother, you're just...
You know a lot about bears and hostages. Do you imagine yourself in precarious situations a lot?
You know what it is that I spend my life trying to attract a man, so I am interested in knowing what men are interested in.
I see.
Men like bears. Men like whiskey. Men like smoking. And
I think the men that like bears are not the men that you're interested in, actually, or trying to attract.
Most men like hostages. I mean, I would say I've never actually...
I don't know that's a statistic that I've ever heard.
Well, there's never been a female holding others hostage, as far as I can tell.
That's a good point.
Always been a man.
So what is your question?
Yeah.
Is that right? Well, just what is the importance of saying the person? What is the hostage taker and the hostagee? Are you supposed to say the hostage taker's name the whole time?
Yeah. You'll say their name. So, if, for example, David was the hostage taker, I'd say David, my name's Jim, and David, I don't think you should do this today, David. And he's already thinking, well, bang, 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 I'm going to finish this up. But what I want there is when David is back at home tonight, or when he's in jail or on the run, he's going, what was that guy's name?
Because he said my name constantly.
He said my name constantly.
He only said his name once.
What was his name?
And then I would remember, it's Jim.
It's Jim.
Right.
And then you have a silver lining in the playbook, don't you?
Wow. Yeah, then I'm not sure where that goes from.
These are good tips.
Right. And you would imagine the letters I get, Scott, from people who are in jail that I
don't really.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think you would get a single letter.
I get letters and they're going, hey, Jim, I remember your name. You negotiated the hostage situation in which I was, taken under federal custody. Sorry about all the people that I had to knock off that day, but thanks for saying your name. You know, they'll say that. They'll say that.
Incredible. Well, these are good tips. These are good tips. We unfortunately are. What's that?
What an educational, edifying episode.
It really was. We heard about Hollywood C-list celebrity. We heard about this guy who does hostages. We heard about brows, and we heard from a big pussy right over here. So we are running out of time, though. We only have time for one final feature on the show. That's a little something called plugs. Hey, that was Teeny Tiny Pluggy Wuggy by the KevBot 4000. Thank you so much for that. If you have a plug theme, head over to cbbworld.com/plugs and you can be played on this show. And David, what are we plugging? Obviously, Worst Daddy in the World Tour kicking off this week.
Yep. Well, that's pretty much it for right now. Go to official David Cross.
Taking you all the way up to October 29th.
Yep. The first leg is up there. There'll be two additional legs, more of America, rest of Canada and Europe as well.
And you know what you're talking about yet? Or is it like that dream you have where you're going out on stage and you can't remember the lines? Have you decided everything already?
I have a magnetic poetry thing. I have a big metal, thing that comes
refrigerator
up
that you take along with you.
Yeah. Big, right? Big fun, Sub-Zero. And I throw the magnetic poetry up there.
And you have some steaks in there, just, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll change from place to place. Yeah, you know, am I in the South? Gonna have barbecue.
Right.
Am I in the Pacific Northwest? Gonna have barbecue.
Of course.
Am I in, New England? Gonna have barbecue.
Right.
And And then I do the poet word things.
And that just kicks it off, and that gets the brain going, right?
Yeah, and then I just do
crowd work.
Magnetic
for
poetry.
Another 57 minutes?
It's all poetry. It's all magnetic poetry. Okay. Yeah.
This sounds good.
Oh, it's great. I mean, I'm getting so many walkouts.
Oh, wow. That's what you want.
Yeah, because I've got their money already.
Yeah, exactly. And if they all walk out in the first 5 minutes, you get to go home.
I get a bonus, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Sherry Pie, what are you plugging here? You got anything to plug?
Megathepodcast.com.
Megathepodcast.com? Who are you, Mario?
Megathepodcast.com.
Oh, I also want to say that I am official cherry pie at blogspot.americanthighs.com.
That's a lot of
that's
dots.
A good URL. I like that.
Thank you right. so much. It's important to be.
Wait,
memorable.
What is what? You said Mega the Podcast? Is that what you said?
Mega the Podcast.
Mega the Podcast.
No, Mega the Podcast. You want to plug that?
Well, yeah. My other whenever else I'm talking into a microphone, it's on a podcast called Mega the Podcast, which is an improvised satire from the
Mega the
staff
Podcast.
Mega the Podcast. It's from the staff of a fictional mega church. Scott has been on, played the intimacy coordinator for the Christmas cantata.
I don't know anything about that, but people can take a look at this. Jim Bolt, what do you want to plug?
You know, Scott, I'm just going to plug MegaThePodcast.com too, because that is that's something I'm on. And then if anybody is down at the UCB down the hill, you can come see Cook County Social Club. That's a fun little comedy group that happens.
When you say down the hill, we're not giving away my location, are we?
No. Yeah, you're right. It just, you
you're
know
not
that,
doxing
you,
me at this
you know
point,
that one hill in LA. Yeah, right. We're up there right now. And okay. Yeah, so check that out. And
Ryan Headboard, I guess I'll give you some plugs.
Go to officialryanheadboard.com mm-hmm. if you're interested in anything I had to say today, if you'd like me to have me at your school. There's a guy that he was trapped in his car and I helped him out. I helped him save him from his car.
What, it sounds to me like you just asked him to come out.
Yeah, well, I said, could you try opening the door from the inside? And he was like, oh, that worked, my bad. Well, his name is James Mannion. We become friends. Oh. And you can follow him on Twitter at Pizza Mannion. And yeah, he does shows in Los Angeles. Check out Comedian Feud at the Elysian Theater. Probably one in March. Not sure. He told me about it. I'm not keeping track of everything.
You don't know his whole schedule.
I don't know his whole schedule.
Yeah. All right.
And I said, thank you for letting me save you out of your car.
And that's how you became friends.
Exactly.
That's a great story. I love that. I want to plug, the Comedy Bang Bang book is coming out now in about a month and a half. Ooh. And I got an actual physical copy of it this week.
Well, I thought you were going to say you got a physical. I was going to say.
I got a physical as well.
You should get a physical. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Came out bad. Came out bad.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So this book is the last thing. My last will and testament. I put my will in the back of it. And
you're going to die?
We're all gonna die.
Boy, nobody's getting out of here alive.
I told you. Everything is a hostage negotiation.
And until then,
especially with the Grim Reaper.
And until then, play dead.
Yeah. I wonder if that could work with the Grim Reaper. Play dead. And he's like, oh, I already got this guy.
Let him take a nibble, see what happens.
But yeah, you can pre-order the book. We have all the links up at cbbworld.com/book. We want to make sure that first week that you get your copy so it'll go rocket up the charts. While you're over at CBB World, take a look at some of the programs we have over there. We have some great shows. We have an episode of Who Me with the Batman just came out, and Alimony Tony's Valimony Shoney just came out. Head over there. Subscribe. If you subscribe for a year, you get 2 months free. All right, let's close up the old plug bag. All right, that was Swedish Americana by Hacks Rummet Records Garlic and Ham Man. Thank you so much to Hack Summit Records, Garlic and Ham Man. And thank you so much for that theme. And I want to thank our guests. First of all, thank you so much, Sherry Pye.
Such a pleasure. Such a pleasure. And should I reimburse you for reimbursing me on the date you're sending us?
Yes,
on?
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Double reimbursement. Okay. That's exactly how we like to do it. And Jim Bolt. What more needs to be said?
Nothing, Scott. Appreciate it and appreciate you and everybody here except for one.
That's right. And speaking of that one sticky guy over here.
He was talking about me?
Yeah, what'd you think he was talking about?
I don't know. I thought maybe over the course of the last 15 minutes.
We'd come around on you?
Yeah, come around, or maybe someone else caught your eye or something like that.
No. When we find a person to focus on, no, you don't want to.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You should know this about bullies.
No, I know.
It's, you know, until they find a new person.
Yeah. You got to be so pathetic that they just go, you know what? It's not even worth my time.
Exactly. And David Cross over here, my fellow cool brother. I'll see you out there on the road.
All right, cool guy.
David's moved away from the microphone. He's packing up his stuff.
I got shit to do.
He's got shit to do. Hey, he's too cool to even end the show.
That's
wow,
a pretty
amazing.
Good daddy. That's a pretty good daddy.
Pretty good daddy. He's going to, his tour is a lie. All right, guys, thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.